What's up, world? I'd like to welcome y'all to a Drug Dealer's Dreams podcast, yo. Shit is real. We got real guests.
Yep.
Informative. Yo, my name G.
I'm Benny Blanco. You know, for those of you who lived it, can relate to it, seen it, heard it, felt it, been through it, it's for you.
Yo, we gonna have real convo, real guests, real just back and forth with me and my guy, man. Sit back, enjoy the ride, man. Drug Dealer's Dreams.
Word. If you're tuning in for gossip, tune out.
All right.
Yo,
yo.
Another episode, Drug Dealer's Dreams.
Chop, this is my shit, right?
Word. Is this episode Word. Six or episode seven?
Six. Season two, episode six. Thanks to everybody, man, for listening and fucking with us.
Hold on. I'm G.
Benny.
All right, let's set it off, man.
What I was saying, thanks for everybody listening and fucking with us. Like, it's one thing to just click on some shit you like, but motherfuckers, when they take the time to actually send us a message or something, that shit is ill because it lets us know, you know what I'm saying, lets us know what we're doing and we investing and it's not going to waste. So we want to start the episode by shouting out a couple people and just answering some questions and elaborating on their insight to the show, because I thought it was super important. There's one dude named Andrew. I don't want to say your last name because out of respect, I don't know what the fuck. But yeah, his name's Andrew. He says, the first part I wanted to touch on, I ain't gonna read you the whole thing because dudes really take time out to like write whole paragraphs. He said, what up, guys? I just wanted to say I love the podcast. And your message is definitely relatable. I'm not from the streets, but after listening to the first few episodes of the show, I felt that I wasn't living up to my full potential. I just want to stop right there because I think that shit is dope because, of course, the name of Drug Dealer's Dreams, it might, as many people that it intrigues, it might turn off a lot of people too.
Right.
What you were saying when we wear the shirt, you told me you almost covered this shit up that day.
Sometimes, depending where you're at, you know, in a different scenario, you might be talking, holding down your shirt like that. Not being ashamed, but all the time you don't want to have that conversation.
Right.
I'm in the bank.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want you to think this is drug money I'm depositing, right?
I'll be in the grocery store and a lady might look at me with the ill face and I don't know why she's looking at me and then I remember what my shirt says.
I'm glad you brought that that up about the message, because like when he said it, he realized he wasn't living to his full potential. When we do the show, right, there's many reasons why we do it, and that's one of them. We definitely here to get motivation. Everything about our show is positive. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can take it how you want to take it, but really everything about our show is really positive, right? So to hear somebody actually get it, you know what I'm saying? And understand that we actually, like I said, medicine and the candy, I say it all the time. So it's like, dang, he caught the fool for thought. You know what I mean? Getting full and realizing. And we even say on the show a lot of times, we done came short in life. Like, we not the illest niggas. It's just like the conversation we having with y'all, with each other, is like we all in the conversation. All the listeners in the conversation. So we motivate each other, motivate the people, and y'all motivate us. You know what I'm saying? So definitely appreciate that message.
You know what's deep? It's like you don't have to be from the streets, or you didn't have to sell drugs in order to have the same morals or the same rules that equate to your life. Like, you can be a corporate giant, but trust and believe the same rules apply. You know what I'm saying?
It should, at least.
Hopefully.
But the thing about it is, none of that even got to matter. Like, the fact that you're interested, I like what you say, white comedies, cheesy shit.
Right.
I like it though. So I watch. I learned something about their lifestyle that is just it's cool. You know what I'm saying? So there's nothing wrong with you. You don't have to think you gotta be a certain way to listen to something or to watch something. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that you learn something from it is even doper.
And hopefully it gets rid of some of those stereotypes. So somebody that's not from that environment could listen to our podcast and understand, you know, we're not savages. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they're not gonna look they might drive through a neighborhood and look at kids different, which would be the most powerful thing we could probably do.
Because you know at the end of the day, being from the street and all, we still are intelligent. You know what I'm saying? We still,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
And people are human. We got a lot of similar problems. You know what I'm saying? So the next thing he said was, but what he said was, the way he related to it was, he was hearing these stories about people who came home, like the John Bunn episode, for example.
Okay.
He was hearing these, and he said, I felt that I wasn't living up to my full potential. I would hear guests telling their story, how they overcame adversity in pursuit of a better life for themselves and loved ones. I realized I could be doing a lot more with my own life. So I started chasing my own dreams with new purpose. You know, it's like, that's such a vital thing to learn in life, that you don't have to bump your head personally to learn something. Like, the people that could watch and observe and learn from other people's mistakes, that shit is like a cheat code, you know? Nice. So, yeah, shout out to this dude, man. And I really want to touch on the last thing he said, because...
Okay, let me go say ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry, y'all say cut people off all the time. Now people say that.
I don't matter. You cut me off. You can cut me off, whatever.
Yeah, but nah, but I wanted to say on that, what you said, when you learn from other people's mistakes, it's a cheat code, right? Everybody has a cheat code. You just not choosing to use it. You see
Break
people make mistakes every day.
Yeah.
You see your friend make the mistake. You see whoever make a mistake. You see homies in the street make a mistake. And you run and make the same mistake.
Do the same shit.
I've done it.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, everybody has that cheat code. Man, what you said was powerful when you said... you learning from other people's mistakes is the cheat code. It's ill because everybody has that same cheat code. Like, if you learn from other people's mistakes, if you watch somebody do some dumb shit or go through some shit that you done tried and it didn't work for them, and you can switch it up and learn it a different way, everybody got the cheat code. But just like me, just like you, we done... followed in the same footsteps or done the same dumb shit over and over again.
Right.
You got that cheat code and you gotta listen to that. Like nobody is telling you nothing for your, not for your good. Like your parents say, your son, don't do this because I did it and it didn't work. It got me here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then they go and do the same thing. It's, I ain't saying it just to say it. You know what I mean? Just like, whether I'm telling my homie the same thing, bro, you don't want to go around that corner. They waiting for you.
And I look back, and the people who actually took heed and didn't play with that gem.
So much further.
Way further. That's what
I'm
saying.
So much further.
Because I know it took me a long time. Like, there's this arrogance that comes with the shit, right?
But you think you can reinvent the wheel.
Right, you think you're smarter.
Yeah, I'm smarter than him. Nah, he did it wrong. Mm-hmm.
Like, you literally doing, you like you said, what you said, you following in the footsteps, right? You literally doing the exact same thing that rocked the motherfucker before you.
Right.
Literally, you know what I'm saying? And for some reason, I don't know if it's youth, I don't know if it's desperation, I don't know if it's ambition, I don't know what it is, but you really think that you could do the same shit that caused everybody else demise and win.
No, see, and the illest part about that is, how can I put it? This don't have to be like, we not just talking about hustling.
No.
You could be talking about rapping. You could be talking
right.
about
hooping,
playing basketball.
Right.
Like, you gotta, just because the next motherfucker walked outside and somebody liked his look and said, I'm gonna sign you, doesn't mean that's gonna be your look. Like
right.
Jermaine Dupri, I remember, I mean, we dating ourselves, but like we talking about Crisscross, right?
Right.
I seen the special on Jermaine Dupri. He said, man, I went in the mall, I seen them young boys, the girls was following and everything.
Right.
I said, man, y'all rap? They like, nah. I said, fuck, I'm gonna make you a rap.
Right.
Signed them,
right.
They lit, right? That's not common. You know what
no.
I mean? So the illest part about that is you gotta hard work. I always say it beats talent all day. So when you see some that didn't work for somebody else, you can, okay, let me take that and work. Boom. He went the left. I'm going to go right, and I'm going to make it make sense. You know what I'm saying? And I think that is that shit is key, not to just be a follower. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's crazy? Mm-hmm. It's like emotional intelligence, right? Okay. Like understanding how you feel and why you feel that way.
All right.
Let me break it down real quick. Everybody, especially coming up how we came up, older motherfuckers always tell you, you're dealing with emotions. We was taught to ignore all emotion, right? If you even consider your emotions, it's a weakness. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers will jump all over you. That shit's like blood in the water. Facts. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, ignoring that shit makes you dumb. And let me break it down, right? So your emotional intelligence is all that really matters. And the hardest, toughest, loudest motherfucker, he's dealing with emotions because he's angry. Anger is an emotion, right? The shooter, the murderer, all the motherfuckers dealing with emotions, right? If you're, for those of you who think I'm bugging, like, nah, I'm all about logic, I'm all whatever. If you're driving on the highway and you see a burning car, right?
Yeah.
With a bunch of kids in it.
Yeah.
Logically, everything you learned is fire hurt you, fire yeah. burn you, you could die, don't yeah. run up to the car.
Yeah.
But any good motherfucker gonna run up to the car and try to save the kids, right? So when it's life and death, you are gonna deal with emotion and you're gonna listen to emotion. You're gonna make an emotional, intelligent decision,
okay,
right? So the reason I bring that shit up is because when you enter something where you know the risk is so much greater than the reward, mm-hmm. it's not because of the money. It's not a logical decision.
Okay.
It's because of an emotional decision. You know, uh-huh. it's like when you was young, I speak for myself right here. I know you'll relate to it, but like when you're young, a lot of us have family problems, right? But if you go on the block on Christmas, say you're not fucking with your family, right? And you dolo on Christmas or Thanksgiving, you go on the block, it's 10 other motherfuckers in the same situation.
Right?
So that's part of what makes you ride. That's part of what makes you do what you do. Cause it's not logical.
Yeah.
It's not logical at all. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you gotta really pay attention to why you do the things you do. Like, it's a hard question to ask yourself. It takes like a lot of introspective shit. You gotta really look at why you do what you do, but if you ignore that, you're gonna make the same mistake over and over again. Once you figure out why you make the mistake, you can actually correct it, you know, and see some progress in your life. And that progress is gonna make you feel way better than relating to a bunch of motherfuckers who are miserable like you.
Nah, real shit, that shit was well said, bro. And I don't know, just how we on like street shit, it's like a lot of emotional shit you do when you're young have to do with acceptance, right?
That's a great word,
you,
bro.
That's a great word. You want to be accepted. You want somebody to just look at you and say, yo, dude is real, or dude is ill, dude is, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that to me, is strong because, as sad as I may say, that creates a lot of rats. And I'm gonna explain.
It does. I want you to explain.
All right, you're watching like Boys in the Hood, right?
Right.
Classic movie, all ages, right? Ricky gets killed.
Okay.
Trey's his best friend.
Right. It's time for Trey to rise.
Emotionally.
Yes.
Trey say, let me get in this car.
Right, right.
Like he's supposed to, right? He want to ride, right?
Right.
Riding around, they about to smoke some niggas.
With his dad's gun.
With his dad's gun.
All emotional decision.
Yo, Doe.
Yeah.
Let me out.
That's his intellect kicked in.
Intellect kicked in, right?
Right.
Now listen, in the street though, Trey kills somebody. Like on the
real
life,
exactly.
He kills somebody.
Exactly.
Trey tells on everybody when he gets in the interrogation room.
Yes, yes.
Because he wasn't ready.
He wasn't,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's a great example.
He wanted to be accepted.
Man, that's a great example.
And that's what happens. So what that does is people want to block out the emotion, have that black heart, but in real life,
it ain't an option.
That's not what it is. And there's nothing wrong with you getting out that car.
Nah.
But once you're in it, you almost took an oath. You know what I'm saying? To to not be that way, but that creates the rats and the snitches.
Weren't they in like a drop top or some shit?
It was in the 6th floor.
Drop. See, especially up top, we don't have those.
Yeah.
So it's harder to get out. You know what I'm saying? It's easier for him to get out. We would have been in like a Honda,
but he could have
and you just sort of had to shoot somebody. Yeah, that was just...
could have stopped and opened the door at the light or something. But what I'm saying is, nigga would have stayed in, and that's what happens. You know what I'm saying? Like you're really trying to just want people to, like, you were so dumb when we was young, bro. Like you really riding around. Like, niggas used to call it. I remember. Yo, let's go put in some work. Like, right. You didn't get into nothing that day. You just like, yo, let's go over there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, damn, like your mind really be trapped in that way of life. Like, it ain't even about no money.
No,
you know what
no.
I'm saying? You really, let's just go.
It was a status. It's a status thing. You know, like you know you never knew when somebody older you may have looked up to or maybe was giving you in some way a right to get money. Right, there were certain spokesmen for certain areas, and you never knew when it's like your resume would get pulled. You never knew when a motherfucker would be like, "Yo, can't nobody get money out here today if you ain't ever shoot nobody." Motherfuckers is dying, and ain't nobody out here doing nothing. That's a lot of pressure, bro. That's a lot of pressure for a 15, 16, 17 year old, you know. And it's like that shit is way more powerful than what your mother or father are telling you. Way more powerful, man. So you gotta, basically the moral of that little shit is, you have to deal with emotions. If somebody tells you you're dealing with emotions, they're fucking stupid, because you have to deal with them. You gotta learn how to process that shit and then make a decision that's balanced. You gotta balance intellect and emotion and make a decision that's right for you.
And don't get it twisted to all our young listeners, right? It's hard to make that decision
when your brain
haven't developed yet.
Exactly.
So all we could do is hope you ever even paid attention to us, and hey, maybe we'll cross your mind sometime. You know what I'm saying? Like you got a lot to live for. Damn, I kinda wanna jump around, right?
No, go ahead, jump.
I just seen a thing today about a rich white kid and California rich joined the Crips some years ago, right?
How does that even happen? Did they say how it happens?
Doesn't matter. They do a drive-by.
Okay.
He's driving. His pops Benz on the drive-by, right?
Nice. Emotional decision.
5,000%, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He got acquitted yesterday. He says, first of all, he got arrested, and in 2 days he was out on a $5 million bail. That's Pops' fam is paid, right?
So what, 10% what they dropped?
Regardless, that's still $500,000.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean, so that you don't get back. You know
what I'm saying? And this is where, in LA?
This is a part of California. Okay. He's a part of the rolling 90s neighborhood. Crib, wow. Right?
I would love to hear that story, how that happened.
So. Yeah. What happened then? The lawyer argues that he was driving. He let them out. They ran up on a U-Haul worker who's not gang affiliated and shot him in the head. That's what they said. He wasn't gang affiliated, right? I was afraid. He's working at U-Haul. Kill him. Get back in the car. They said the camera only showed they got out of the car and they ran around the building. He said, I thought they were going to tag graffiti. Right?
So, shout out to the lawyer.
So he said, at the most, my client is a witness or a, what did he say? At most, my client is a witness or a, like a taxi driver.
Like a just a bystander. Yeah.
So either which way, they said, he's going to college next year. He's studying law. Now, twofold in the situation.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about there.
It's like, he wasn't supposed to be there. No. You know, it's like he wasn't even supposed to be in that shit. They had a picture of him. He's crypt up, ragged.
With I gotta see this.
Yeah, I gotta see this. So, Vlad actually even added up.
Of course.
Vlad is this.
Yeah.
But it's at the end of the day, that man could have spent the rest of his life in prison. Right?
Definitely.
For trying to be accepted.
Definitely.
He got saved.
Because of what?
Because of money. Because of privilege. Particularly in this situation, right. White privilege.
100%. He fell back on it. See?
At the end of the day, him trying to be as black as he was, he had to fall back on his white privilege.
He had
because
to.
Them two other niggas,
it wasn't even, it
they,
might,
they were waiting trial.
I don't even want to make it that simple, though. I don't think it's because him trying to be as black. He was trying to be gangster. You know what I'm saying? He could have fell in with some Mexicans. He could have fell in with whoever, but he wanted that acceptance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He didn't probably go to sleep at night hoping his skin changes color.
Not at
all. He went to sleep at night hoping he gets a different level of respect or a different identity. Or...
He fucked with the culture.
Exactly.
But you don't understand what that culture could get you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like those kids ain't got no opportunity to say, I want to quit the gang life and go to college.
Yeah, I've never heard a... It's a delicate situation. Like, yo, when you actually dive into this shit, right? You know, you hear the old saying, you're gonna be dead or in jail, right?
Yeah.
Which is true, that's why it's a saying.
Yeah.
But there's also a flip, there's also a whole nother level to that that those people can't tell you, because most of the time that's an older person who never lived in that area telling you that, or never did the shit you're doing. So you don't listen to them. But the flip side is, if you lucky enough, if you hit the lottery and you make it out, there's a bunch of other bullshit that comes with it.
1,000%.
There's a bunch of people feeling like you owe them. There's a bunch of people feeling like you don't go back enough. There's a bunch of people that feel like you're trying to change that makes you fake. There's all type of shit that goes on. So, yo, there is no happy endings. There's no happy endings. Like, you're not gonna find what you're looking for. That identity or that acceptance, it's not gonna pay off at all. It's not. You're gonna deal with that shit into your grown up ages. And that's life.
You don't stop putting in work. You know what I'm saying? Like what Hov said, niggas wanna test you when your gun go on. You know what I'm saying? Because you could have put in all the work.
In the world, but it don't matter.
Yeah. Years passed, 6 months, years passed.
It don't matter.
Oh nah, you ain't got it no more.
Yo, there's nothing you could do in your life that has more rules than if you get in the streets.
Listen, you have to accept yourself.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, you have to accept yourself. Like that's the difference. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be content with yourself. I don't have to go do this because I want somebody else to let
accept
me feel
me
like whatever. I'm doing it because I want to. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference, man. Like you gotta, you know, it's so complicated, man. Because we could talk about this shit.
How much you think? Yeah, I'm good. I'm jumping
over here.
How much you think when we in our era, right? Uh-huh. How much do you think that the music had to do with the formation of what you thought was identity or you thought was acceptance? Like, how much did you know the old argument, right? Does it reflect life or does life reflect music?
I think it's both. And to even shout out homie, he talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. The reason that's I was just, it's like a prelude or whatever, but I'll just say what he said. So at the end, he said, one suggestion I have is maybe at some point you guys have an episode dedicated to exploring the music that motivated you through different periods of your life. As a music lover and musician, I'm always curious what people like, and I think that could be another way for your audience to connect with you. Anyway, and shout out to Andrew again. That was just a dope.
I think that is dope because I used to say it all the time. People used to... listen to Tupac and go do a drive-by, right?
Right.
I used to hear about, you know, certain things or whatever. So, what happens is, that is true. Music is it's motivation. It's like an NBA player.
But what does it trigger? Does it trigger your intellect or does it trigger your emotion?
Both. Okay. It depends what kind of music you're listening to. If you got music that make you think, or music that gets you rowdy and hype.
So if you're 17 with MOP,
it's
over. You're gonna miss.
You know what I'm saying? You might get that fool.
Yeah, over. It's over. Murder more murder.
Yeah, but
kill him. Kill him.
No. Definitely music triggered people emotions to do certain things. Man, you know, like, you know, when I was young, since we talking about music, we could get into it a little bit. When you're young and you hear, I don't know, when you first was hearing dudes say, like, a Big Daddy Kane or, we going old, right? Big Daddy Kane. It got Illa Cool G Rap was a little getting closer to the street thing, right?
Son, you used to call me, right? Mm-hmm. Just sidebar. I remember you calling me and trying to stay quiet and putting the phone to the turntable and trying to scratch on your mom's records, right? But trying to be quiet at the same time so she don't get mad.
Right.
But you'll be hype, like, yo, I caught the snare or I caught the kick. And it's like, that shit was so powerful that I know it formulated certain shit that had a heavy impact in our life. Like, what Money said, like, what songs got you through what? Like, why? Like, we talk on this shit all the time, coming from Syracuse and shit, how we would drive hours just to go get new music. Why do you think that was so important?
Listen, let me, I'm going to jump a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm going to answer your question. Like I was saying about Big Daddy Kane, I thought he was nice. Thought Cool G Rap was nice.
Yeah.
When I'm turning 16, and Nas come out, I feel like he lived next door to me.
Right.
Like, that was the first time, like, somebody in my age bracket saying the same shit we go outside and do every day. Motherfuckers is selling dimes, and he wasn't talking Kingpin, Mafia. It was, man, listen, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm in this project hallway. You know what I'm saying? It's regular shit. Ron G's in a cassette deck, rocking the shit. You know what I'm saying? That's what we was
doing. Everything.
Panasonic box, Sony box on the block.
Right.
So I think at that age,
even Mobb Deep, when they said my brother did it and got bagged with 2 ounces.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, you won't hear that anymore. Like, no rapper will rap about 2 ounces.
Right. So that what I'm saying is when them dudes, I can say that whole QB movement at that time was like, okay, we live in Syracuse, but they just like us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We just like them. Like, and going to different hoods, but you got to burn them because the girls, you know, dudes might be on some bullshit. I just thought that was, in making it intertwine how you said what music got you through or made you relate. Those people made me relate with their music because they was like us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It wasn't nobody preaching down on me, telling me, like no disrespect to KRS-One, but it wasn't, I didn't want to learn that. You know what I'm saying? At that point, I wanted to relate.
I fuck with KRS-One too, but I understand 100% what you're saying.
No, I rock with KRS, don't get it twisted. Yeah. I was like,
I fuck with the, with the angry, aggressive KRS-One, right? And then when he told me you must learn, it was like, now you preaching to me. Now you preaching to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And but when he teamed up with old boy, what was the reggae dude? Mad Lion. Then he was lit again because Mad Lion was talking that talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But
hey, I got a question real quick.
Let's go.
Two questions. So you had already touched once before, say you didn't do the bid. You know, already touched on your brother doing the bid.
Uh-huh.
First question, when you did your bid, was it like any particular song or anything that played through your head, you know what I'm saying, to get you through?
You know, the crazy part about it is like I'm not going to lie, I've never been a super Tupac fan, right?
Right. We know.
But I ain't gonna front, in them times, a dude like Tupac, you relate. You know what I'm saying? Like Shed So Many Tears used to run through my, you know what I'm saying?
Did you have any R&B flow?
I'm an R&B head.
I know, but that's why I'm asking. Did you have any R&B flow?
Mad R&B.
Tell them why though. Tell them why you're an R&B head.
Cause I come from the town. I'll be honest, we was heavy blends. Heavy R&B.
That's what I was trying to get you to.
Dudes with
it, you gotta understand though, that's not like you're just banging a Jodeci album or no shit like that. You gotta understand.
It was different.
Yeah.
But Tupac definitely ran through my head, yo. I Ain't Mad At You used to run through my joint. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I blew trout no more smiles for a couple years. Mm. That shit should be like, damn, like that shit is really my life. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Mama, I ain't happy here. You know what I'm saying? It's like, boy, he ain't gotta be the nicest rapper.
No.
That should touch your soul.
See,
you know what I'm saying?
We talk about the difference,
he
the
said,
separation.
I'm in my cell knocking buses on their back, praying hell I know one day I'll be back. Like, come on, my nigga. Like, all of them pop joints picture me rolling, like, yo, I'm fucked up now. When I come home, though, like, all these punk ass CEOs, we used to say that shit. I used to say that shit, like, I watch, picture me rolling, bro. Like, all y'all niggas, all y'all hating ass niggas, all y'all lying ass niggas in here, like it, songs like that, stick to your soul. You know what I'm saying? He might not be my favorite rapper or the best rapper or whatever, but it's very few people that really stick to your ribs like that.
You know why, though? You know why?
Because
Pac's an emotional rapper.
And he been through it.
But going on the
second part of the question, your brother, is there any songs that you listen to that trigger certain feelings in you about your brother being in the can right now?
You know what? I can't say that. It's just a lot of remorse in that situation. So if I could think of any song, it's just like, You just always wish you could have did more. You know what I'm saying? So any song like that, let's say I'm riding a car or some shit like that, play, it's gonna trigger me. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I'm not getting off the subject, but I kind of am.
No, go ahead.
Talking to him today, it's crazy. So like, when I talk to him and the horn go off, like, you know, niggas is getting it in. Like, I gotta go off the phone, bro. Like, they shutting down shit or whatever. So he said he almost cried today because his man that's on his block, on his company and shit, and my brother in Attica and shit, life sense for everybody, I always say it. He said, man, I had to call a nigga mom because he got poked up and they took him to the outside hospital. You know what I'm saying? Now, he always called to do moms from like, yo, he need money or, you know what I'm saying? Because my brother be having access to the phone heavy, you know what I'm saying? So he called a nigga moms like, yo, he said need some money or if y'all gonna come up to see him this week, kid from the Bronx, right? So he's like, so I call her this time. She thinking, oh, what does he want? Nah, brother, your son got into it in the yard today. You need to call around to the local hospitals around here. They took him outside, I don't know which one. She asked my bro, is he all right? I said, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? He said she just started crying. You know what I'm saying? Because he don't know. He got hit with the ice pick. It wasn't just like a he son got poked. You know what I'm saying? So who will know if he gonna come back? You know what I'm saying?
So he ain't get ripped. He got poked.
Yeah, he ain't get ripped. He got poked. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that shit be crazy. You know what I'm saying? So when I like even though I can say I did right by my brother on the street and shit like that, but you always
can do more.
No, you could have did more. You know what I'm saying? Even if I should have or I shouldn't have, that ain't gonna make no different decision on how I feel. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that shit fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's saying niggas get killed and all types of shit, like, regularly. He seen a nigga hang himself a couple weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? Like he like, bro, you don't know what it feel like to see a motherfucker blue. You know what I'm saying? It's the shit different.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's crazy.
That shit's traumatizing. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, you know. That
and
shit,
that ain't even the normal day-to-day shit that is terrible.
Nah, that ain't just, oh, I'm away from my family.
Or how you gotta bathe, or how you gotta do.
Yeah,
you know,
or
that
I need
ain't
money
even
for commissary. No, right. this is, that man told me, every day, if I make it to my cell at 9:30 on lock-in, it's successful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that shit's different.
You know what I'm saying? Attica's different.
Now Attica's different.
I said this before, I say it again, just to drill it into motherfuckers' heads who might be dealing with certain situations or certain decisions. When you see that Attica wall, you don't want to do nothing illegal, my man. You don't want to do nothing illegal.
Yeah.
That wall is high as fuck. That shit looks like a movie. You know what I'm saying?
I got a question for you too, though, Blanc.
Hold up.
So you don't mention quite a few times that you was an artist.
Yeah.
It was any artist that you done heard before you became an artist, and you was like, you know what? I'm about to get into this music. Like, I'm really fucking with this. This artist right here really got me inspired.
Nah, I'm gonna tell you. So the same thing G said. We come from the mixtape era, not mixtapes like Lil Wayne mixtapes. We come from mixtape era where,
disrespect.
No disrespect. He made great mixtapes. He just one generation in front of us. We come from Sandy's Music mixtape.
Sandy's Music Hut.
Yeah. So,
Harlem Music Hut.
Yeah.
125th.
Yeah. Soul, Syracuse Music. Right. Mixtapes.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Sorry.
I knew I wanted to be a rapper when I went to a concert at Syracuse University. Coming from Syracuse, our best concerts would be at the university.
Called Greek Freak.
Yeah, you would have to kind of sneak in because they tried to separate the university from the neighborhoods
all the way. Facts. And, they don't want us around that area.
And they
want you to think that.
Right.
Yeah. They got their own world over there. You know
it'll deter the students.
But they had the illest concerts.
Yeah, they had the illest concerts, and it was in like, they would be in small venues. So this is a good story. I'm glad you asked me that, Chop. So we in the joint, I'm in like the 11th grade, I think, 11th or 12th, some shit. And we go in there, like, I'm driving, but somehow we're like 5-6 deep. This is so funny because if y'all watch Drink Champs, right, our partners, Nori be making fun of EFN because he has a tennis ball with KRS-One written on the shit, right? He makes fun of him being a hip-hop head. KRS-One opened the show. He threw them tennis balls out. I got one of them tennis balls in my mom's attic somewhere.
Crazy.
So shout out to EFN, right? But then Fat Joe
and Pun
came on
there.
The stage.
Okay, he was there too. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Did CNN come to that one?
No, that was a different one. I think.
Was Sporty Thieves at this one?
They was at the one with,
with Nori,
CNN.
Okay, you know what though?
Also, I think that was Capone's first show when he got out of jail.
It was. He was all black. He came with
right. And on the album, he says, guns in my palm, something to cuse. I'm telling you, this is like a drunk fact, like how Drink Champs do drunk facts.
Okay.
I think that was y'all first show. Y'all holler at us, let us know. Anyway. Nice. I remember Capone had the black Surdy on
black
with the
everything.
Black ski mask, and he pulled the ski.
Everybody
went crazy. So, but at the joint with KRS-One and Joe and them, I remember standing up front, and you would
white
think
and yellow ones on. I was there.
I was there. You know, and them shits matched the fucking stones in his piece.
Facts.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I know that. But anyway,
and I had those ones.
So. I had them too.
I sent you to the city. You caught mine.
Yeah. So, Pun started rapping. I'd never heard Pun before.
Definitely. This was pre.
Never heard Pun before.
This is Ice Water Pun. This is what Ice Water had.
No. It was the joint with.
Get locked.
What would you do? That joint with Raekwon, B Real.
Get locked. Stop. Stop. Niggas.
And Marriott. Yeah.
Flash out.
Nah, but you remember the What Would You Do record where Pun be like, I would take back the years of physical abuse and give her back her best years, that shit.
Definitely.
And we saw him beating the shit out of his wife later on in the video. So he was talking real shit. Right. So, but I just remember being in the crowd. He had the 560 t-shirt on, no jewelry, no nothing. I could see his stomach hanging out from under his fucking shirt. But that motherfucker rapped.
Rapped his ass off.
Yo, the way he rapped, it was like nothing I ever heard in my life.
Right.
And
I did see.
I was just stuck. I was stuck. I just wanted to do that shit. So I just spent a couple hundred dollars. You know, back then you had to really you couldn't just buy a program, and you didn't have a computer in your bedroom.
You had to buy equipment.
Yeah, I had to try to find. I would talk to you like, yo, you know who got a technique? You know, it was hard to find a technique. So you, hopefully, what I did was I found one technique. It wasn't a 1200. It was just some bullshit technique. But you knew you could scratch on
Tell
the technique.
Tell them what a technique is for people.
It's a turntable.
Okay.
It's a turntable.
You act like this is a new era now. My bad. Don't do that.
My bad. Yeah, they like, what kind of technique?
It's just a button.
They don't know. Man. But nah, I just found, I went to a dude who was a so-called producer or made beats, and you see what he got, and you're like, yo, let me buy that shit. And that's what I did. So, Pun really influenced me that night. And this is how ill shit was back then. I feel sorry for some of the aspiring artists today because they don't get to live this shit. Like, because everything's so superficial now. Everything's so separated. But so Joe, this dude named Keith Nutt. I remember this shit like it was yesterday. Joe, Keith Nutt. I have no idea what happened in his career. And Pun performed. And then Joe Clare was there. He was the host of Rap City. Remember? Right. They all came in the crowd afterwards. Yeah. They looking for chicks and shit. You know what I'm saying? This is, they're young still too. So they in the crowd just maneuvering. There's no VIPs. There's no nothing. So of course, we there like six deep. We holler at Joe Clare like, yo, what up? He brings us right. We like, yo, we rap. Never wrote a rap in my life. Just fronting at this point, right? He like, all right, introduce you to Joe, right? I go over there, I'm with everybody I'm with, and introduce us to Joe. Joe was super responsive, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm telling you about the pieces. We was buying pieces at this time, but I never saw like different color stones.
Yeah,
like we would see rubies and diamonds.
Fugazi,
yeah, but he had like big, like orange and yellow stones all in the shit. And you know who he was with? He was with, what's the white dude name, man? With the bald head that they always talk about. Nah, not him. Anyway, he was a music guy. And Joe was like, y'all rap? But it's like 7-8 of us.
Yeah.
So everybody like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So he gave us his card. I remember Pun was real standoffish, man. Pun was like, you could tell he was just fresh out the neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? And we was just young, but
that was
to answer your question, Chop, I took the manager's card, right? I went home, bought the turntables and shit. Me and my friends at the time, we just started rapping, and I would call that fucking number like from my mom's phone. There's no cell phones, right? I would call that manager every time we made a record. It would probably be like 3 times a week. But he'll never answer, but I did that shit for like 8 months straight. You know what I'm saying? Leaving messages, he'll never answer. But that shit was a beautiful time in music, bro. It was a dope time in music. Me and G would drive and buy mixtapes and sneakers and jewelry and come back feeling like rappers. Like, it wasn't even so much about, like, wanting to be a rapper. It was more about, like, just natural progress of your life. Like, you were either going to progress as a drug dealer or a rapper, basically. Yeah. That was your choices.
Yeah, facts.
Right? So, I mean, you went to school. You went to college and caught a charge.
Facts.
Right? I didn't go to college immediately, and I wanted to be a rapper. Those were the only two choices.
Facts.
So, it was like, but at the same time, you couldn't escape where you came from. You couldn't escape the consequences of your choices. No matter what, no matter if you took the road to be a rapper or a hustler, whatever, in the 90s, early 2000s, it was almost like no matter how hard you tried, you was gonna get caught up.
Yeah.
You was gonna get caught up.
That's why at the end of the day, no matter the bid or not, I'm just happy to be here. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't look like I lost. I look like I beat the system, even though I did all that time.
Right.
Because
how much time total was it?
Like a little over 8 years, right? I still feel like I won.
I was almost on point. Chop asked me the other day. I said 7.
Yeah.
I was almost on point.
It's still like I won though, because I'm here. I can still take care of my kids. I could still be successful. I don't use that as an excuse. If anything, it's motivation. You know what I'm saying? That's what some people, oh man, I got this feeling, or I got this. Man, listen, the world is so big. The world is so big with opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Like this whole, even though we not super hip to this information era, like right. social media era, that shit is just everything's available to you. Like the experiences we got is dope because, man, I was watching Leo Cohen interview today at the Breakfast Club, right?
Yeah.
He the reason why, like, don't get it twisted, we gotta keep with this techie world, right?
Right.
But you need a label. He said, you know why? It's artist development, right? Mm-hmm. He said, listen. He's like, the reason why dudes like LL or KRS or any Jay-Z can perform for the rest of their life mm-hmm. is because, like, you had to rehearse and get your show straight so that for the rest of your life you can perform, right? Right. He said the microwave niggas now, no disrespect, because it's he's like, they go to the strip club every 2-3 days and get a brown paper bag,
right?
Right? And the strip club play their song, they get on for a second, yo, like sing along for a second. He's like, they don't have to do no show. Mm. Like they don't do actual concerts. They just do club appearances. It's a difference.
Right, right.
Club appearances is fly by night. You have for a year or two.
Right, right.
He said, I need to turn that brown paper bag into a hard ticket.
Mm.
That hard ticket is going to be with That's you for real. Life.
Yeah.
This brown paper bag is
for the night.
It's 2018, the night. 2019.
Right.
You might make you 2-3 million, whatever. But you need that hard ticket. You know what I'm saying? And I say that to say, that's what we doing with the drug dealer's dream.
Mm.
Fuck the brown paper bag.
Word.
Let's get this hard ticket.
Word.
This shit forever.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's the difference. We not sticking with a trend and just telling dumbass jokes and being on whatever.
Right.
No disrespect, nobody.
Right.
But this that pop soul food.
Yeah.
That shit made me remember when I'm in that cell. This exactly. different from me liking Red Cafe when I'm on the street. No exactly. disrespect.
Right.
Because I liked him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're in that can. You need to stick to something that's real.
That's real.
This shit is a life lesson we teach you. You know what I'm saying? And that's this that Willy Wonka golden ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I want you to understand. That's what we do it for. Like nigga want to get 10,000 for a club appearance, but I'd rather get 6,000-7,000 for life. You know what I'm saying? Like Jeezy said it best. He said, "I ain't trying to sell 10 million records a month. I'm trying to sell a million records 10 times. It's the longevity. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Nelly sold 10 million records.
You know,
but shit, you can only stay hot for a few years.
So long.
Let me sell a
for
million
so
10 times.
Yeah,
shit
and
for life.
And you know that shit. That was dope. What you said, bro. It just made me think, like." And what time we at, Chop? We closing, right? We at closing time?
We good.
We 55 minutes.
Because, all right, what I'm saying is, in regards to what you're saying, you know, them years you did, who knew that we was building a podcast? You know, because you would call me, we having the same conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You would call my mother's house, you know what I'm saying? And people wonder why we get... We had a great comment the other day that was like, damn, I love y'all podcast because y'all so down to earth. I feel like I'm in the room with y'all. Mm. It's because you are.
You really are.
You are. Like, we've been doing this shit for 20 years.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? More than that. More than 20 years.
I got a gym when you're done.
And yeah, but it's like, we've been doing that shit. This man, he fucks my head up every time he tells me my mother's phone number. The only reason he remembers that shit is because dialing it when you was doing your bid.
446-8538.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember that number the rest of
my life. Yeah. And it's like, we was doing the podcast for 25 years. So
We didn't know it.
We didn't know it. But it's like, son, if you if you stay true to yourself, man, and you understand that it's always light at the end of the tunnel, as long as you see it.
Listen.
If you close your eyes and you lose that light, you dead in the water.
Listen, bro. The illest part about homie when he sent in Andrew, right?
Yeah, Andrew. Shout out to Andrew. He basically was the basis for the whole episode.
Right?
Yeah.
He said, listening to our podcast, he realized
he ain't doing enough.
He needed more purpose for his life, right?
Right.
My first bid, that's what I should have wrote a letter to the Fed and said. It took me that. Damn. I realized I wasn't doing shit. And even though I probably shouldn't have, I don't think I should have been there, but fuck it. That was God giving me a life lesson, bro. Like, you ain't living to your full potential. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't. I was in the way. I wasn't living to my full potential, and it took something like that for me to be in there and understand it. Like, bro, you tripping out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got options. You got all types of shit. You got kids, whatever. Like, you ain't getting no money. Fuck the money I was getting. You ain't really getting no money. Because at the end of the day, if I can come home broke, I wasn't getting no money, right?
Right.
So it's like, I'm glad homie listened to our podcast and got that. Because I ain't had no podcast to listen to.
Word.
The Feds was my podcast.
Word.
I listen to every nigga in there.
And I, when you call home, when you call people like me or whoever, I was caught up at the time. I'm not telling you anything good. I'm just keeping you in tune with what's going on.
That's what you're supposed to do. You know the illest part, bro? I never forget it, right? I come home working this job. I'm coming home after the first bit. You got in touch with me. You call my phone, right?
Where?
I'm like at the bank. You like, yo, I'm down here, right?
Yeah, I was hyped. I was hyped to know that you was down here. Because for the listeners, you was down here first. That's all.
Yeah, I was down here first.
Right.
So, like, I went back or whatever. Well, we was close always, you know what I'm saying, just in life.
Right.
But one of the last times was just a long time. I remember calling you and you said, yo, bro, you got to come home. I need a friend.
I remember that. Yeah, I do. Now I remember that. I ain't had nobody.
That shit is real, bro. I'm coming from the can. It's different when you say you need me. Because I usually need people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that wasn't a place from selfishness from you, but it's just like, you was always
call you and say, yo, come home, let's get this money.
Nah, let's do this. We've always been friends.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So
right,
it's like, bro, I need somebody genuine around me. Who's not trying to take advantage, who's whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit means a lot. Like, I won't forget that. Like, so I need a friend, bro.
I'll drink to that.
Like, who the fuck ever called you and said that? Any listener out there, who's ever said that to you?
If they did, you better keep them in your life.
Like, come on, man. Like, motherfucker might say, yo, I need a homie to go out with. Or I need somebody to flip this work with. Man, I just need a friend, bro. Get out here. Everybody out here fugazi as fuck.
Right.
Just be my friend, bro.
Listen, I even called you. I was excited about copping the BMW truck. Remember?
Track.
Called you like, yo, because I knew you already had big boy toys. It's like, yo, I got my first one.
Because genuine people are happy for your success. It's like you calling me, telling me you copped a BMW truck is like, we're in high school, said I got the white on red high tops with the strap that hang down. It's the same feeling.
It's the same
we just older.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like I got the uptowns, you know what I'm saying? There no mid cuts. I got the joint with the strap you could take off, bro. I can strap them in the front or let them hang. You know what I'm saying? It's like I say it all the time, you are who you hang around, bro. Like if you around fake shit, you're gonna be fake. You don't got no choice.
Yeah.
Because it rubs off on you, you know what I'm saying?
Damn, that's ill, son. I'm glad you brought that up, man. Yes, for anybody who got uh, who got loved ones that's down or whatever, just tell them the truth. You know, that shit comes from, damn, son, that shit is like full circle to how we started, right? It's like emotional intelligence, you know what I'm saying? I called you, I told you some real shit.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
You know, yo, some people deserve real shit. Some people don't deserve that filtered, think about it for a day, make sure you get it right shit. Some people just deserve that real shit.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying?
Nah. Or,
we could rap on that.
We gonna drive the episode.
Nah, we could rap on that.
Hey, before we wrap up, y'all make sure y'all go to YouTube, subscribe, hit the notification bell so you can get all the notifications. Go to iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a comment, all that help us out.
Yeah, and then, don't forget, just like Andrew, we might bring you up.
Yeah, definitely.
Shout out to Andrew.
Listen, we taking all questions, anything you need to ask, anything, ideas you got, we taking consideration, man.
Also, support the campaign. Go to drugdealersdreams.com, purchase the apparel.
Yes.
G, Blunt, they're going to send you a pack. Just go on out and rock with us, bro.
Yeah. We got to send one out tomorrow.
Word.
Good looking, man. Yo, y'all be easy, man. Be safe out there. Please be safe out there.
Drug Dealers Dreams.
Word. Peace.
Facts.